had no plans, didn't know where I was going, didn't know what I was doing. But it was a life-changing, defining moment without me realizing. I thought I was kind of running away from problems. I wouldn't think back then that that was going to be such a defining moment in my life. But that one thing of just being like, I need to get out and I need to go find myself. And I feel like I did.
Today's episode is going to go deep into how to know, how to figure out what it is you truly want to do in your life, and maybe just getting out of your comfort zone altogether. Casey is an amazing representation of someone who's flown around the world to really figure out what it is that is going to make her passionate about her life. She's built an amazing career, and we're going to dive deep into how she did that all. So listen closely and welcome Casey Boonstraw.
You know, I love you. You have the literal best personality in the world and you light up a room. So I'm so happy to have you here. Okay. So I want to like hop right into it, because I think your story is pretty fascinating. And I remember sitting with you at dinner and being like, I need to have you on my podcast.
I know. There's so many levels to this.
Yeah. So what was the turning point for you that pushed you to pack up all your things in your hometown in Australia and go travel the world and figure out your dreams?
Yeah, that was definitely a life-changing moment for me. I feel like when I think back, that was when I was 22, 23, I'm 30 now. Yeah. So it feels like a lifetime ago and it feels like a different version of me. But at that stage of my life, I was going through a breakup. It was messy. I don't think I was making the right decisions. I was a little bit lost in like just my world. I was working different jobs. I used to be an esthetician. That's what I studied at college. So I was working in the spa. I was working at a clothing store. I was doing some modeling work. I was working as much as I possibly could to save up money to travel. I was like, I'm just destined for more than this life. Like, it just can't be it for me. So I packed up my bags. I bought a Coachella ticket with a friend of mine and just went on this trip around the world. I ended up traveling for 8 months.
Wow.
Yeah, crazy. And it was just like, just went. I had no plans, didn't know where I was going, didn't know what I was doing. But it was a life-changing, defining moment without me realizing. I thought I was kind of running away from problems, but I didn't realize the hole that I was filling with inside me while I did these travels. Like, I was really finding myself throughout this journey. So I started in LA. We went to Coachella, literally like couch surfing with people that we met or places that we did. We went to Vegas for a weekend and I ended up staying for 14 days.
No way.
No one needs to be in Vegas for 14 days. That was, I was nocturnal, but that's besides the point. Then we went over to Europe. I met my sister over there. I was staying in hostels, mind you. Like, I would go to bed in a room and wake up with like Spanish guys in the room. And I'm like, morning. And they don't even speak English. I was like, what am I doing? There was one time my little sister, I met her in Amsterdam and she came and saw me at the hostel. She was like, oh gosh, you're staying in here. And I was like, I don't know. It's cheap, whatever. So I ended up going back to her hostel, top and tailing on the top bunk. Like, I was just roughing it. I remember like jumping over fences to stay in tents at Running at the Bull, because I was just like in the middle of nowhere. Like, I was deep in the world.
Wow.
So it was crazy. So then I did Europe. And then I did Bali and then went home for a couple of weeks. And it was weird when I went back home. I was like, I feel like there's like more to see. And I got invited to go to a modeling competition in Mexico. It's called Swimsuit USA. And my mom was like, you should go. Like, these opportunities don't always knock on your door. And I was like, I just spent all my money. Like, I ended up working on boats. Do you know Yacht Week?
Yeah, I've heard of it.
I was working as a host, like cooking on these yachts. And I would write on Facebook pages, anyone need a host for whatever? I had no training. Wow. I just was cooking to try to make more money. Like, I just was going for it.
You're a hustler.
Oh, yeah. I had to keep the travels going. Like, I was having too much fun. You should see, like, all the stuff that we got up to. Anyway, so I ended up going to the modeling competition. And I met so many amazing sponsors and people that were, you know, at the event. And one guy was like, oh, have you ever hosted anything? And I'm like, yeah, all the time in Australia. I've done that all the time. And he was like, I think you'd be a great host. My current host just moved to Nashville. I'm looking for someone. Would you want to move to LA? And I was like, this sounds too good to be true. And I remember calling my mom being like, I don't think I'm going to come home for Christmas. I think I got a job. I need to go back to LA. So I like stayed with friends that I met at Coachella. And they were so nice to let me crash with them. Ended up having a meeting with the company. It was an online TV show. And they offered me a job and was like, if you figure out how to get your visa, you can come work for us and move to LA. And I was like, How crazy is this? I just went with this dream that I was destined for more, traveling the world, not really knowing what I was getting myself into. And at the end of it, ended up with a whole new life. And that was 7 years ago.
Wow.
Yeah. Now I'm a permanent resident here in the US. And that in itself was hard. But I wouldn't think back then that that was going to be such a defining moment in my life. But that one thing of just being like, I need to get out and I need to go find myself. And I feel like I did. So I'm really proud of myself.
Like, you were never a host before when they asked you initially, right?
Never hosted anything. I think I had one. I mean, I had a couple little opportunities where I did little side gigs, a wine show I did. I can't remember what the other one was, but it was very, very minor. But okay. I was like, I would entertain it. But they're like, can you get us the footage? Like, can we see some of your work? And I was like, oh, it's kind of old. I don't know how to get a hold of it. Yeah. So we hosted some like little things to see if I was any good at it. And I was just winging it. Like, you know, when they say fake it till you make it.
That's what I was going
to
say to you.
I seriously feel like I faked it till I make it. Now it's like my actual job. And I'm like, how did I get here? Like, that's crazy. And now I do it all the time. I just filmed in London. Like, what? What's going on? And I'm so dyslexic. Reading out loud is like such a fear of mine, and now it's my career. It's like very strange.
Whoa, that's so cool. And that's what I was gonna ask you. How real do you think fake it till you make it is?
It's a mindset.
Yeah,
like if you believe you can do it, you can do anything. So I feel good. Like I'm you know, you said big personality. I'm like, I'm a people person. I can talk to people. I can talk to a camera. Why couldn't I be a host? And so I just dived headfirst. As much as I was scared, because I am dyslexic, and reading out loud was always so scary for me, because even in school, I had to really learn how to read out loud properly. So it was bizarre for me to think that that would end up being my career, but I just convinced myself that I could do it. So I was really faking it till I made it. And I can't believe I've been a host this whole time, and the opportunities keep like coming towards me. And I'm like, I mean, it seemed to align with me. I'm still here. So it must have been something, right?
And that probably makes your like child self so happy to see you now, like little you being scared to like read in class, to like, if that you saw you now, like hosting and like just speaking out loud and knowing what you have to talk about and being confident in front of a camera. That's so cool.
It really is cool. Like, it's so rewarding to think that something that felt like such a burden to me growing up, like I was really good at English, just reading and writing. Sometimes I write things backwards. It's just the way my brain works. And smart people are dyslexic.
Yeah.
But it is really rewarding seeing myself now. I would never have thought in high school that I would end up there. I'd be like, there's no way. That is such a big fear of mine. So I feel like I conquered a fear during it all, and now it's become second nature. So it really convinced me, what else can I do? Like, what else can I set my mind to I can achieve that's outside my comfort zone? Because that's where like all the magic for me has happened, is when I've pushed myself to that next level.
So true. I was watching this like Will Smith episode on his YouTube. He doesn't make them consistently ever anymore, but it's called like Fear. And he said, God puts the best things on the other side of fear.
Yeah.
So like the moment you get out of your like comfort zone, the best rewards are there.
100%. I don't like being comfortable. Like you see me, I'm always doing something crazy to push myself or push my limits. I always like to learn more, because I feel like even growing up being dyslexic, it's not such a big thing, but I always thought I was behind.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? So I feel like I always try to now do more, because I felt for the longest time I was a little bit behind.
Yeah.
Even though it didn't really reflect in anything in my personal life, mm-hmm. it was just a mental thing that I'd hold to myself. So I feel like pushing those limits is something I always try to do. Even jumping off cliffs, doing crazy stunts. Like,
I know, you're insane.
Yeah, I like you're to amazing. Push the limits in every aspect of my life.
This girl literally is like her own stunt worker. Like, you're learning like martial arts right
now
too.
Yeah, martial arts and like weapons and all sorts of things. It's really fun. I was like, we're going to film some stuff soon, so you'll see it. But I want to be like an actress that does her own stunts, because that would be epic.
Yes.
Imagine doing fight scenes by yourself. Like, I want to do that.
Yeah, you're so motivating, because you really just like think of something and then go after it. I love that about you. Actions, and this girl really does so much. Okay, there's so much to touch on. What was the moment for you when you were like, okay, I think that a lot of people that would be listening are like, might be stuck in a job they don't like, or stuck in a hometown they don't like, or a relationship or so forth. What was the moment where you were like, okay, you said there's something more for you, but how did you know like you could trust yourself to do it?
I think that's a good point. That's the hardest place to start. Mm-hmm. And I feel like taking that first step is usually the scariest. For me, the situations that I was in Australia kind of pushed me to do it. I was like, I need to go and find more. I wasn't in a good place in my life. I wasn't making the best decisions. So I was like, what is it that I need to change? And it was something within me. But I feel like in any aspect, whether it be relationship, work, you know, if you feel like you're stuck in a rut, you know, if you feel like you're destined for more, I feel like you have to trust your intuition, whether it be just something minor, like just changing something about your day, going to the gym more, knowing that you're like wanting to lose weight or get fit. It's all within you. Your body will tell you what you need. You just have to kind of trust the process. I didn't know what I was looking for, but I know I found it. You know what I mean? It's like you just have to go and give it a shot.
Yeah, so it's like taking the first step, even if just you don't know where it's going to go.
Yeah, just do it.
Because like you knew you wanted to leave your hometown. So it's like, okay, where am I going to go? Were you just like how did you find out you were going to go to LA?
We wanted to go to Coachella. Never been to Coachella before. It seemed so exciting. I see it all over the internet. And I was like, I want to go to that. That looks so cool.
Yeah.
And I never really went overseas thinking that I was going to move forever. Yeah. Well, forever till now. I didn't think that I was going to end up here full time. But once I saw the glimmer of hope that I could, I made it my full-time job to get it. Once he was like, get your visa, you need to figure it out. You betcha I was calling all the lawyers, trying to find out the best immigration lawyer, working on that 24/7, making it my job because I really, really wanted it then. Because I was like, this is the turning moment.
Yeah,
that's like they hand you a bone. And I was like, how fast can I run with this? Like, I need to go get this and I need to do this for me because I saw that moment. I'm like, this is what I've been searching for. But it's also how much do you want it? Like, some people are willing to take the step, but then like, oh, that seems too hard. Yeah. Like, I want to move to America. I want to get a green card. Oh, but that seems too hard. I know it's hard. I've been through it, but so I managed to self-petition my own green card and I worked on that every single day. I feel like it's how much do you want it? It's mind over matter kind of thing.
That's so, so true. I love all the things you just said because like number one, you want something, you're thinking about it and then the universe will pass you like a bone being like, okay, well, how much do you want it?
Do you want this?
Yeah. And then it's like, and I think a big thing is like how you said also like just taking the first step because the next step will unravel of how to get there. I think initially it's going to feel like, okay, you live in your hometown, moving to LA across, especially for you.
That's
you moved across the world.
No, I remember sitting in my mom's bed thinking that's not possible. Like how would that be possible? Until I was in that moment with the opportunity, I'm like, oh, this is so doable. I can do this. But if I had a thought about the end goal at the start, it would have been very daunting. It would have been scary. But I think step by step, piece by piece, putting myself in these places, going to that competition, even though I couldn't really afford to be there, kind of just putting myself out there for these opportunities for the universe to work its magic, ended up working its magic and it wasn't as overwhelming than once you're in it.
That's true. Yeah. Well, I think for you too, and I think this is something people can look up to you for, you're so good. You're so personable.
Aww.
And so it's really, I feel like I've seen you just out, you know, like you're really good at, people feel comfortable around you and want to be your friend. So like, what would you say are like tips that you've taken on to like, if you came to Coachella, like how did you go about like meeting people easily and like getting friends out here and growing your network and becoming, someone that can live here?
Even traveling the world by myself, right? I would be staying in hostels alone. I had to meet people. And crazy, right? But everyone's got a story. Like, you don't know if your best friend's standing right in front of you. Mm-hmm. Like, I feel like saying hello, seeing if people vibe. Like, I had to create a whole new life here. I didn't know anyone when I first got here. I just met most of them at Coachella that time, and I'm still friends with them to this day. They're still best friends of mine.
No way.
Yeah, it's crazy. Just because I put myself out there and initiate the conversation, I think we live in such a digital world where people kind of stick to their circles. They will say like support people online, but I feel like that human connection is something that I love. It also motivates me. You don't know if the person standing next to you has a story. So many people are willing to help if you ask too.
So true.
So I feel like just initiating and kind of being confident in that way. I feel like I've always just been an energizer, ball just bouncing around the world, but just putting myself out there.
I always say to about you, you're like unforgettable.
Oh,
like, no, I'm like not kidding. I don't think I've ever said that to anyone. Stop, but like if you meet you, like, you know, you're someone that like you stick out.
Oh my
you know
gosh,
what I mean?
That's so sweet. I think that's the nicest thing anyone said to me.
Yeah, like no one will just meet you and be like, not remember. Do
oh
you know
my
what
gosh,
I mean?
Thank you. Yeah. I really appreciate that.
Yeah. So, but I think that's such a great quality for people to see, because a lot of times people, you know, get in their head or they feel uncomfortable in social settings and so forth. But like learning how to like get to a place where you can socialize and meet more friends. And I think the first thing that's awkward for people is like how to make conversation with someone else.
You know what the easiest way to do it? Ask people questions about themselves.
Yeah,
it's the easiest way to start a conversation. Oh, where are you from? Where'd you grow up? Like, oh my gosh, that sounds so exciting. What's the best thing to do there? Like, it's so easy to start a conversation. If you don't know what to say, just ask people questions. People love talking about their interests, their hobbies, what they're up to. Like, I mean, as a podcast host and then me hosting too, I feel like it's so easy for conversation to flow.
That's so
when
true.
When you ask someone a question about themselves, look at me just yakking, like, you know what I mean?
Blah, no, blah, that's blah, blah. So true. That's
yeah,
such
it's
a good
easy.
Point.
It's easy to start up a conversation if you just find a similar interest with the person that you're trying to have a conversation with.
That's so true. Yeah. And it also helps you get outside of yourself, because I think if you're like, oh my God, what am I going to say to them? It's like, no, put the attention back on them. Like, what do you like to do for fun?
Yeah,
and then it's like getting you out of yourself.
Yeah. And it kind of like lessens the nerves. If you're a person that is nervous to start a conversation, just ask the other person. You don't have to say as much.
Yeah. I always get jealous of people that I see that are just like, can talk to anyone when they're out, even if they don't know them. Like
really?
That's always, I think I've been like that more when I was younger, but only because I went to 5 different elementary schools in 6 years when my parents got divorced, so I was always the new kid in school.
Oh, that's tough.
Yeah, so I always had to like meet new people and like figure out how to make new friends. And it was the same thing you said. I like the first thing that like you have in common, it's like, well, expand on that. Like try to find a similar thing in common and then expand on that. That's what I realized really young. I'm like, oh, I need to find something in common with this person. And
similar
then we can
interests.
Be friends.
Like if someone loves cooking, what's your favorite thing to cook? What's your favorite cuisine? Like you can have so many conversations from a simple topic and just backpack off that.
Yeah, I feel like I can do it if I'm in a group setting now and people are friends of friends. But like one night I went out to like Soho House and there was this woman there and she like walked up to us and she's like, I love your energy, and started chatting. She's like a ball of energy. And then she was like, when she walked away from us, it just starts talking to everyone at the bar. Everyone's her friend. I'm like,
good for her.
How? Like, wow.
She's probably just complimenting people too.
Yeah,
like if you want to walk up to a group like at Coachella, oh my gosh, I love what you're wearing, I love your shoes.
Yes.
Like giving someone a compliment also makes them feel comfortable to open up a conversation.
That's so true. How do you go about creating your girl group? Because I know you have an amazing girl group.
I do. I have my little girl squad, the eggs we call ourselves, because sometimes we're scrambled, sometimes we're omelets and sometimes we're sunny side up. But my friend group has been amazing. We all kind of moved to LA around the same time. So we're all kind of the new kids on the block. So that was very helpful. But I feel like having such a good support system of women around us. And I know like our group of friends that we all hung out with like at dinner the other night, women that just support each other, lift each other up, are always there for each other. So blessed, you know. I feel so grateful to have a friend. I feel like I searched my whole life to have such an amazing group of friends. Like it feels so good to have the girls that I got. They're like sisters. And especially being on the other side of the world, I need good friends here. You know, sometimes it's hard.
I think there's like a lot of girls that I know, it's like they either – some girls have a hard time making a girl group.
Oh, yeah.
Because
it is
like
hard.
Maybe trust issues or something. So like how do you go about like – making them all, because you have a good amount of girls in your group.
Yeah.
Like, how do you go about like making sure they all feel like special to you and you have time for them and like curating the?
It is difficult, but I feel like we all make time for each other. We're all busy, and you know the workload only has been picking up. So being there for each other and reciprocating each other's energy. Like if someone's busy, like understandable, girl, get your bag, do your thing.
Yeah.
But if we have our girls' nights and make sure that we make time for each other, but. Yeah, it's daunting trying to make friends, especially in LA, I feel like, especially for girls, because you never know at the start what people's intentions are. Like there's a lot of people, unfortunately, in the city that always want something from each other, but always trust your gut. I feel like your gut will always direct you in the right way.
Yeah,
you'll know if someone's energy's off. You can feel it, but
that's true.
Just keep going. There's someone out there for everyone. There's soulmates and best friends too, so Yeah, I wouldn't be disheartened.
Are you picky with who's like in your girl group? Like for an example, and I'm not in like a bitchy way, but like important to you with who you surround yourself with and like girls that encourage you to like be better and, you know, have their best intentions for you, like want to see you do well.
Yeah, I think you are a product of your surroundings, right? Mm-hmm. So I feel like your friend group does say a lot about who you are as a person too. So I wouldn't say I'm selective, but because I love meeting new people, like trust is also earned. And I feel like with such a good group of girls, it's because we've developed this bond over the years. Yeah. At the start, obviously, we're probably a bit wary of each other too, but that trust and that bond is built over time. And you are a product of your surroundings. So I think it is important to be picky, like with your friends, like you are your partners, because it does kind of guide your life in different directions, because their goals and their dreams, you want their goals and dreams for them as much as they want them for you. So you kind of like help each other on this journey. So you got to make sure that the journeys are going in the right direction.
Yeah. And another big thing that me and my sister always talk about, because anytime I feel like lonely, because not being in a relationship, she's always like, well, you need to like be around more friends. She's like, friends is so important, because that's connection is like literally our human nature is like to have connection. And so she's like, when you have a good group of friends, that's when like you don't need a guy.
100%.
You don't need the relationship.
100%. I believe that wholeheartedly, because I don't feel alone, and I've been single for a while because I have such an amazing support system around me of women and friends, and my family's on the other side of the world, but my friends here, like, are kind of, they're my chosen family, right? Like the good and the bad and the best and the most fun times is always shared with them. So having that person kind of feels like you have your partner in crime. You have your soulmate by your side, because men will come and go, your relationships will come and go, but your best friends will stay there for a lifetime. So I feel like they're the friendships that I've always wanted to nurture the most, because they're going to be through all of it with me no matter what. So I always got my girls back. So,
I love that. Okay. I want to dive into a few things, because I think you've had some really fascinating stories that have happened to you. One, do you feel comfortable with talking about the thing you had in your arm? I forget what it's called.
We call it Implanon in Australia.
Okay.
But I think it's like is it Nexplanon here? I don't know. The implant. An Explanon?
Yeah, the children blocker.
Yeah.
Child blocker for you to not get pregnant. I think that your story is very interesting for a lot of females to hear, like, your experience it. So first of all, go into like what it is and like what happened to you.
Okay. So I actually have a scar under my arm from this thing. Can you see it?
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's crazy.
So I had the birth control implant. In Australia, we call it Implanon. Yeah. And in America, they call it Nexplanon.
Okay.
So essentially it's just a birth control implant. It's about, it looks like the size of a matchstick.
Okay.
And they put it in your arm, and it's meant to work as birth control. Mm-hmm. I had it for 3 years prior when I was traveling and stuff, and I was like, this is great. I didn't get it's not unusual to not get a period on it. So the whole time I was like traveling, I was like, it was great. It worked amazing for me, but it expires after 3 years and you got to get it taken out and another one put in. And usually it's just like a little slit. They can like wiggle the other one out and they push the other one in. It's easy. Yeah. I was like, cool, I'll do it again. So I did it, and then this is probably TMI, but for a whole year, I was having 18-day periods, like anywhere from 15 to 18 days.
Oh my God.
And it was like excruciating pain. I couldn't feel it in my arm too, so I was like, this is – and they're like, give it 6 months, you'll be fine. Your body's just adjusting to it. And I was like, but I've had this before, and my body didn't react like this.
Yes.
I started breaking out like crazy. And after a year, I waited a year with this thing in. Uh-huh. I was like, this has got to come out. So when I was in Australia at Christmas time, I went back to my doctor and three doctors cut it open. Oh, I saw three doctors. Two doctors cut it open, were digging in my arm for a good like hour, 2 hours, couldn't find it. My mom works for a surgeon. So I went into the offices in the city and they're like, we won't touch it because they're going to try to cut it open. They're like, we're not going to touch it. She has to go have surgery. Like, so I had to go see a plastic surgeon to get this thing cut out of my arm. So I came back to America. I think I flew back for the surgery. And 4 hours later, he found it embedded inside my muscle. So it was causing like all this irregularity in my body, because it was just producing different hormones at all different rates. Like, it was awful. But then when it came out, I was like, okay, good. I'm going to be good now. It just was like, it got from bad to worse. And then I was like not getting any periods. I got crazy, crazy acne. I slipped into this darkest depression that I have never thought that I would experience, because I'm such a happy, go-lucky person. And I was like, I don't know how to get out of this. Like, I feel so miserable. Like, I couldn't get out of bed. I had no energy. Like, I bounce out of bed and go to the gym every morning. I was scraping myself there. And when I would get there, I'd be so, like, sad. I'd be crying. I'm like, I'm not in my body. Like, whose body is this? My skin was gross. Like, just in a really dark place. And it was awful. Now I understand when people say they don't know how to just get out of such a dark place, or depression is such, like, a big thing. I understand it now, because every single day I was waking up not knowing where, like, the light was. Like, it was really sad. But I finally went and saw a great doctor that Ayla recommended me to, and she found out that I have PCOS. And I don't know if that came from this polycystic ovaries. And I don't know if that came from having this in my arm, because I didn't have it before. So essentially, it, like, PCOS, your ovaries are enlarged and cysts grow on the outer side. And I had, like, 20 something cysts. When I finally got my period back, it was the most excruciating pain I have ever felt. Like, I was throwing up from the pain, like, doubled over on the floor. No amount of, like, Midol was fixing the problem. And I was like, when is this going to end? And all the doctors that I was seeing in America were just like, just go back on the pill, it'll fix it. I was like, fix it? That's what's caused this. I'm not going to put a band-aid on this and go back to where I started. And especially now, being in my 30s, I need to get my period back if I want to be able to be a mother, if I still can be having PCOS. Like, infertility is, like, a big thing with having this now. So I want to go down the natural route of trying to get my period back. And I'm happy to say it's been 6 months since I've had it back. So I'm very excited. They're not completely regular, but this doctor got it back for me, and all naturally too. So she was great. She did put me on, I think it was spironolactone, because my testosterone was crazy. But I had no progesterone, no spironolactone. Like, my hormones were just a mess. And I was like, no wonder I feel like I've absolutely lost my damn mind. And then once I started, once she, like, evened out my hormones, so I didn't want to go back on the pill at all. Once she evened them all back out, it was like a switch flicked. And I was happy again. I had energy. My skin completely cleared up. And it just goes to show, it was all from this bar that had been. That was for all of it. So 2 solid years, I was dealing with the repercussions of having that in. I will never go on birth control again.
I was going to say, because isn't what, I mean, I'm not a doctor and I know nothing about it, so please no one judge me, but wouldn't the way that you would be able to stop having a period is from, like, messing with, like, blocking your hormones?
Right?
Because if you're not having your period, it's something to do with your hormones not being regular. So I feel like it's definitely, like, dangerous to mess with your hormones.
It's so like, dangerous.
It's what makes you feel confident or beautiful as a woman and happy and, like,
even my hair. She's like, I can tell you have PCOS by your hair, because male pattern baldness is a repercussion of it. And I, like, it's all grown back now, but I was, like, had little patches here. Little, like, patches in my hair. And I was like, this is so bad. And she was like, yep, I can tell just by looking at your hair that you have PCOS. I was like, why did no other doctor say this to me? They're just like, just wait, just wait. I'm like, what am I damn waiting for?
I need help.
I need help really bad. I'm losing my mind. I couldn't figure it all out. I was like trying to go to therapy. I'm like, is it me? I'm like, and then I'll be in therapy and I'm like, everything's great in my life. Like, there's literally nothing wrong. Like, I just got back from London and filming a great show. I don't know why I'm crying. Like, it was crazy. So scary. It was all from my hormones. I literally walk with a bounce in my step. I'm so grateful for every day now, because I'm like, I finally feel like Casey again. But it's crazy to think that that all happened from birth control.
It's, I think it's a huge thing to, like, shed light on, because I think there's so many females that don't know, like, what is messing with their happiness or why they're depressed. And I've just heard so many things about birth control and stuff. So
I literally couldn't get out of bed. It was sad. I would get to an event and burst into tears, all ready to go. And I'm like, I can't go in there. There's too many people. I'm anxious. Like, imagine me feeling like that. That's when I was like, something's wrong. I really got to get to the bottom of this. And it all came from freaking hormones.
So anyone should really look into that.
Yeah, if she's acting crazy, there's a reason why, right? If I'm losing my mind a little, it's not me, it's the hormones.
Okay, so the last thing I kind of want to get into is how you work on, like, your inner self, because I know you do a lot of work on your inner self, and obviously it's a constant journey to always be working on bettering yourself. So, like, how do you begin really knowing the right ways and the right tools to start making you a better you?
I feel like that's such a great question, because we always float through life thinking everything's like fine until someone kind of hits a point where you're like, this isn't reflecting my true self. Like my actions aren't aligning with my true self. And I have felt that more recently, that I'm like, I'm elevating in so many areas of my life, but the areas that aren't progressing with me, let's take a look at them and learn to love them and nurture them and get to the bottom of where these emotions or feelings stem from. I feel like we're all our toughest critic, right? We're all like hard on ourselves. You might say to a friend, oh, but there's this part. They're like, no, it's not that bad. I'm like, but I know that I need to change it. Yeah. So I feel like first recognizing that you want to change in whatever aspect it may be, and not being hard on yourself about certain areas. You're like, oh, I wish I could control this more, be better at this, or I don't act right when I'm drinking. I don't act right when I'm doing this. Like whatever it may be. I feel like acknowledging is the first thing, and then putting in the work. You need to do that inner healing, which is sometimes the most confronting part. Like I did get therapy to like unlock some of my traumas throughout my whole life, like through everything that I've just been through. I mean, everyone has a deeper story. So I feel like I had to unlock parts of my brain that I was holding on to things, like just pushed it all the way down and kept filling up this little bottle until one day I'm like, if I don't bring that back up, I'm going to carry this with me my whole life, maybe into my children. So I need to do the work to release anything that's kind of weighing me down. So I'm very spiritual too. So I do like to like meditate and look into myself and wake up every morning, give myself those affirmations, or go to bed and listen to a guided meditation that can kind of help clear any thoughts of like, if I'm having anxiety or if I just want to feel better and feel more self-love, like whatever the guided meditation is to just help me on that way is a great place to start also. But journaling, also a big help, and doing things that make you fall in love with you every day. Like I call it finding my little piece of magic. Yeah. What do I do that Casey likes to do? It's like, that's my true self. That aligns with me. Whether it be helping someone in need or just treating yourself nicely, whether like what you're eating, what you're drinking, if you're going to bed early, if you're going to take a bath, like little things to romanticize yourself.
You're so good at that. I see it on your stories.
Oh, I'm obsessed with it. It's my favorite hobby.
I see it. You like cook yourself the best meals.
I date myself every night.
You like, put your bubble bath on.
My bubble bath. Yep. I got my like little red light therapy light. I do my little mini facials. But anything to nurture myself. Like I do so many active things and I put myself out there, and we do sometimes put stress on ourselves. So how do I unwind and get back into my body and really feel like every single part of my body when I'm sitting there? Like, is my back sore? Am I holding tension in my shoulders? Like really getting,
sit up straight.
Really getting into your body and acknowledging every single part of you, because that makes us human. That makes us us. And if you're not really paying attention to how you're feeling from the inside out, how's that going to reflect on to the people around you too?
Yeah.
So I feel like love comes from within. So then you can reciprocate and get the love that you deserve, because you love yourself that much more. You shouldn't love anything until you love yourself first. So I feel true. Like, yeah,
you're so good at that. You work out all the time. You really do take care of yourself. Well.
Oh yeah. Oh, yeah. I had my green juice right before I came here.
I love that about you. I'm like, I need to do that more. I've told you I've been doing my self-love meditation.
I do your self-love meditation now,
too. It's so good.
It's really good. It's really helpful. And the morning affirmations, I feel like telling yourself in the morning, like, that you're going to have a great day. Mm-hmm. Today's a new start. It's a fresh start. Like, talking to yourself nicely.
So true.
And not waking up being like, oh, like, yesterday this was bad. I didn't do this right. Or even if you've had an argument with someone, or anything little, don't carry that into the next day. You have a new opportunity to start again. Don't be hard on yourself too if you slip up. Like sometimes I used to be like, I need to go full like 360 and start all over again. But don't be hard on yourself. Just be like, I'm aware that happened. I'm going to do better next time. This is a learning lesson. Like learn from every mistake that you make, everything's a lesson. So I feel like I've stopped getting in my head as much as I used to, because once you recognize that you're a product of your own thoughts and your anxieties come from the things that you say to yourself, you're very much in control of, you are what you think, right? You're very much so in control of what you think. So if I can change the way I think, my outcomes are going to change.
So true.
Yeah.
That was so perfectly said. We're clipping that. Okay. So to wrap up, I always like to ask, what do you feel like is your billion-dollar quality that got you to where you are today?
Wow. My billion-dollar quality. I feel like I'm going to say what you touched on, that I am such a people person. I love hearing people's stories. My that got to me to where I am today because I was talking to people. Yeah. Like, that would be a quality that I feel like I can walk into a room and I can really start a conversation with anyone. I don't care so how true. Big they are in the company or how little they are in the company, or they're just getting started and they're on the same journey as me. Teach me something. I feel like everyone has their little superpowers, and I do think that's a little superpower of mine. I can have conversations with anyone, because that's got me to where I am today. Mm-hmm. From the days at Coachella to the people that I met there, from staying at their house for I forget how many months they helped me get on my feet to be here. Like, they really helped me. And that's from saying hello, being a people person, to meeting my boss that changed my life that I'm not here, to meeting you. Like, everything's been a trickle effect of me putting myself out there, you know? So I feel like my communication, maybe.
I agree.
Sometimes I might not say the best things, but that's definitely helped me in a way, I guess.
Yeah. No, that for sure is yours. I agree. Like, definitely. Yeah.
That I talk your ear off.
No, it's so good. Okay, so then I also like to do a manifestation moment. So close your eyes.
Okay.
And imagine yourself in 3 years from now. Where will you be?
Okay, I am going to be continuing my path as a host. And not only that, I'm going to be booking big roles as an actress in film and stunts. I'm going to book big action roles, some superhero, some villain, anything action. I'm so down, but the drama, all of it, I just want to immerse myself in that world because I truly feel like I have something unique to bring to that space.
I agree. We're manifesting it here.
Yes, I feel like I'm so dedicated. Like, I'm in six classes a week. Like, I'm trying to learn the American accent. Don't ask me, I'm not ready, but that in itself is a full-time job. Like, my friends are learning Spanish and I'm over here learning English again. So it's crazy.
Wow.
But I'm dedicated.
I've seen that one. Like, there's some people that are Australian or British and they can sound American. So that's what you're trying to do.
Yeah, that's what I'm trying to learn that. But yeah, I'm committed to the cause. So let's speak that into existence. I agree.
Oh, thank you so much for coming on. Tell everyone where they can find you, all your socials.
You can find me on Instagram at Kay Spoon and TikTok at Casey Boonstraw. And of course, my OF is Kay Spoon as well.
We love you. I love you for coming on. Thank you so much.
I love you. Thank you, Tara.
Thank you, my billion-dollar baby, for tuning into today's episode. As you know, I release new episodes every Tuesday, and I read all your amazing comments. So let me know what parts of the episode resonated with you the most, and I'll see you next week.